Welcome to the Life Self-Mastery podcast, where we bring in entrepreneurs who have created online businesses and improved their lifestyles. Here's your host, Rohit Malhotra.
Hi everyone, this is Rohit from lifestylemastery.com, and today we have Ryan McKenna, who is the founder of McKenna Capital, which is a real estate investment firm which helps investors passively grow their income through multifamily and commercial real estate investments that deliver attractive risk-adjusted returns. Ryan is an alumni of Arizona State University and he's done his MBA from University of Notre Dame. Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Rohit, thanks again for having me. Happy to be on here.
Wonderful start. You know, you playing baseball and you got scholarship. Can you talk about your journey there and how did you get into real estate investments?
Sure. My dream was always to get a chance to go play baseball in the big leagues. Ever since I was young, I loved baseball. And when I was 12 years old, I wrote down my goals on a piece of paper. And one of them was to play baseball at Arizona State University. And for those that don't know, Arizona State is one of the top Division I baseball schools in the country. A lot of professional Major League Baseball players have come from that program. And so for me, it was just a matter of setting the goal and then working my butt off to put myself in a position to potentially, maybe get the opportunity to play there. And several years later, I was able to realize that dream. I got a call from Arizona State and went out for a visit and received a scholarship to play baseball at my dream school. And all the hard work paid off. And I knew that I was going to continue to keep working hard, that, that next level, the next opportunity was in sight. And it was my goal to give it a shot to play pro ball and try to make it up to big leagues. And so when I was at Arizona State, we had a fantastic recruiting class come in. We were ranked number one in the country. So a lot of talent came in my freshman year. I was lucky enough to at least be part of the mix, play my freshman year. And then my sophomore year, I was starting, I was doing well. And then end of the sophomore year, I ended up having to pull myself out of a game. I was playing center field against Stanford and never have done that before. I never want to come out of a game, but I just, something I knew was wrong. I just didn't, feel right. And it just, very dizzy, and I ended up coming back into the dugout. And I immediately called my uncle, who's a doctor, kind of explained some of the symptoms. And he was like, "You got to go to the emergency room right now." And I was just kind of in shock because I didn't know what was going on. And initially, when I got to the hospital, they were running some tests and they actually thought I might have had leukemia just because of my body was going through the condition. And, at that moment, things got really serious. And I ended up being diagnosed with ITP, which is a blood platelet disorder, a similar path to some of the symptoms of leukemia. But I spent 6 months in and out of hospitals and, just at the most critical part of my baseball career, I'm no longer able to play. And doctors were like, "You won't get back out on the field again." And just kind of was dealing with this and didn't know how long, I'd be in this condition. And I literally had to live in like a bubble based upon my condition with not getting hit with a baseball or cut. I was kind of like a hemophiliac. And so I dealt with that. And really, that's when real estate came into my life, because as I was lying in a hospital bed, all I could really do was read books. And, going from being an ASU baseball player, feeling like, you're at the top of the world and you've got, a bright future ahead of you, I didn't want to, give that up. And I also felt like I wanted to do something that could kind of still allow me to achieve my dreams, just as if I were to go on and play in the major leagues. And so I studied a lot of, successful business owners, entrepreneurs, and always kind of kept coming back to real estate investing. And that's how most people have generated a lot of their wealth. And had a good mentor at the time, actually someone on my team, his father was a real estate syndicator focused in on multifamily apartments. And, I was always fascinated with what he was doing and how he's putting these deals together. And while I was in the hospital, I received a couple books pertaining to that. And just, really, that's when I really started kind of getting into it and kind of seeing another path besides baseball, because I realized baseball is important to me, but it wasn't, what defines me today. And I knew that there was other things that I could, be successful at. And so knowing that, I had to kind of face this adversity and move on, I chose to kind of really devote some time to learning real estate and learning how to be an investor. And I actually was able to come back my senior year after a year of doing a medical red shirt and finish and graduate. But based upon what I went through health-wise, I had to give up my dream, and that was tough. So a lot of that motivation, that hard work ethic to try and put myself in a position to play at Arizona State, has now transferred over to the business world, and it's what drives me today. And although it took me many years to do my first real estate investment, I had always been studying and just learning. So when the right opportunity came around, I was ready for it. And so that's kind of where I'm at today with real estate syndication and my business, McKenna Capital.
Interesting. You know, you said you took your time, so you started investing. So should people study and wait for the right sort of opportunity, or should they, you know, make some small investments and learn from real life? What is your take on that?
I guess I would say whatever, you know, makes the most sense for them. I mean, for me, it was, you know, I wanted to get into the apartment syndication. That was always where I felt like I would do the best long term. And some, there's certain, you know, things that make it a little challenging is, you know, the access to capital. And, you know, I was fortunate enough a few years ago where I could start, you know, investing in these deals and I had some money, but, you know, certainly you can start on a much smaller scale and kind of dive right in. I kind of waited for the right opportunity because I was always doing this on the side. And I felt like if I wasn't going to be able to, you know, dedicate 100% of my time to being an active investor, then, you know, passively investing was a great way to partner with experts and let them go do, you know, the hard work, find the opportunities. And so, yeah, I would love to have started earlier. And I probably, if I found the right opportunity, could have, but I'm kind of going down the path of, you know, syndication from the start and investing in larger deals. I kind of just had to wait a little bit till, you know, financially it was the right time for me.
You know, there are a lot of different real estate investments, but you do focus on multifamily, self-storage and mobile home park investments. So which investments gets the best ROI to people, and what investment would you suggest to people when they're just starting out investing into real estate?
It's a great question. And if I had the crystal ball, you know, I could tell you the exact answer, but I can tell you based upon what I've experienced and what I've seen, there's definitely a lot of different real estate asset classes out there you can invest in. The three that I am most focused in on is value add multifamily. That's number one. That's the core of my business. And that's where most of my investment are. But mobile home parks and self-storage are great real estate niches to kind of round out your investment portfolio, give you great diversification. What I can tell you, it's pretty standard in all these opportunities, is that, you know, roughly I'm seeing anywhere between a 16 to 22% IRR, which, you know, at 16% compounded annually, you're doubling your money in 5 years. And that's typically the hold period of most of these deals. And along the way, what's really nice about the real estate investments, especially doing it through a syndication, is most investors will get an 8% preferred rate. Basically what that is, it's the closest thing to a guarantee, but you're getting 8% on your money while it's invested into the project. So if someone put in $100,000, you're getting $8,000 a year. It's usually in quarterly distributions, but you're getting money along the way while your investment is building, you know, up equity as the syndicator goes through with their business plan. And with it being value add, there's the opportunity to buy a cash flowing asset from day one and then make improvements along the way. Typically, they're improving, you know, the interior, the exterior of a large apartment complex, for example, 200-300 units. And that value creation happens over the first 18 months or so, where they're able to go and make those improvements, charge higher rent so the revenue goes up, and then also operationally look at reducing some of the expenses so they can increase the NOI, which ultimately increases the value of that building or that asset. So it's a very lucrative, you know, way to put your money into something passively where you don't have the volatility of the stock market where, you know, it's up 1 year, down the next. I mean, these are really consistent, predictable cash flow streams with a lot of upside. So great for anyone looking to, you know, try it, get their money into something that's maybe a safer vehicle, especially looking ahead at, you know, maybe some volatile times with the economy, you know, down the road. I feel very comfortable having my money parked in not only, you know, value add multifamily, but the mobile home parks and the self-storage. And just to elaborate a little bit on the mobile home parks, I mean, you've got an affordability issue, crisis, I should say, in the U.S. right now. And there's just a lack of these types of homes for people to live in. And so it comes down to supply and demand. And also, you know, if there is some sort of downturn, I mean, these are the most affordable housing options for people. And so they're just they're very well insulated in any sort of downturn, but also do very well in the good times. Same thing with self-storage. It's, you know, people are doing well, they have more discretionary income, they're buying more stuff and they need a place to store it. In a downturn, they might have to, you know, move in with someone else, or they're going to have a lot of stuff that they need to store. And so typically it'll sit in a self-storage unit, and about a third of everything that's being rented from a self-storage unit has been there for 3 years or so. So there's a lot of predictability in that income stream. But at the end of the day, you know, I like the value add. I'd like to have my money in an asset that from day one, it's making money. So these are very safe investments. Whereas if I was doing some sort of new construction and there was a downturn in the economy, you don't have a revenue stream there. And, you know, this could be a lot riskier. So I prefer to have something more stable and long-term, kind of build that wealth in time.
So, you know, you have invested around in over 25 real estate deals and portfolio of businesses, you know, more than $300 million. But, you know, how do you decide which project should the company back, or does the company, what sort of due diligence do you do, and what is needed so that the capital which is being backed you know that, you know, you're backing the right sort of people?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So obviously due diligence is critical. And we've got five sponsor partners right now that we're currently raising capital for. And all the due diligence, I mean, is done on the front end. I mean, we're not looking to do kind of a one-off deal. I mean, we want to develop a long-term relationship with a sponsor that has a proven track record of success, that's been successful in their particular niche, and that is in, you know, really good markets. So from a diversification standpoint, what I would say is, you know, we look to offer investors opportunities to not only invest value-add multifamily, but you've got value-add self-storage and mobile home parks. But then each one of our sponsors strategically is looking in different, you know, geographies. So we're not only, you know, investing in one market. I mean, we're in different cities, you know, all across kind of the Sun Belt regions of the U.S. And then to top it off, you've got five different sponsors. So there's a ton of diversification there. So if someone were to ask me, you know, where should I put my money? You know, I always say, well, it's great to diversify, put a small amount in many deals, and you'll decrease your risk and hopefully, you know, overall, you know, improve the return profile. And it's just something I've, you know, done, and I'm not big on any one deal. I've got smaller amounts spread across many. And I really like, you know, when a new opportunity comes along, because it's just another way for me to kind of diversify. But we hold our relationships, you know, very closely. And all the sponsors we raise capital for, I mean, have had set a very strong track record. And most of the opportunities, you know, we're down there with them, walking the property, meeting all the key players, talking to the property management company. And so in this business, you know, your reputation is everything. And, you know, we feel like we've got some really good partners, and they've been doing very well this year from an acquisition standpoint. And the role that we help, you know, allows them to really focus in on winning deals in this competitive environment, when they don't have to necessarily worry about where all this capital is coming from, because that's our role in the syndication business for them.
There are a lot of different real estate investment classes, but typically a lot of people do invest into REITs. So I assume that, you know, for backing a syndicate, you need much larger capital. So, you know, should a non-accredited people, investors, look at investing into REITs or syndicates and then move on to, you know, backing syndicates later on? What is your thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good strategy. I guess it all kind of depends on what their goals and objectives are. But yeah, that's an easier way to probably get in at a lower amount, you know, through REITs or even some crowdfunding, where you can be, you know, a non-accredited investor. And you can, I think, invest for, you know, as little as $1,000 into some real estate. And it's just a great way to learn. And you're not also risking a lot of money too. But yeah, the syndications, the deals that we do, it's typically a $50,000 minimum. Sometimes it's $25,000, but it's all accredited investors. And I guess what I would say is that, you know, these deals, it's all word of mouth. And, you know, we've been able to build up a pretty big network. And they're deals that a lot of the investors, you know, consistently are, you know, investing in. So once you kind of get in, you see the structure, you see the returns, you see how you can make money. It's a pretty lucrative, you know, business model to invest through. But certainly if someone wants to start out, the best thing they can do is do a little research, do some due diligence, but then take some action. Because at the end of the day, you can sit around and talk about, you know, investing in real estate, but if you never pull the trigger, I mean, you'll never know what could be. And I think most would see after the first deal, you know, they kind of get their arms around it, they can understand it. And it's one that I think long-term is a great way to build, you know, wealth passively, and also to have, you know, maybe some diversified income streams along the way. So anyone that has a full-time job, this is, you know, an opportunity for you to create additional income streams with not having to do really any additional work. I mean, it's as simple as writing a check, wiring funds, you know, after due diligence is done, and you're essentially an owner in a large real estate asset. One thing I would say, a lot of people are unaware, and this is another source of capital that can be used. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, they might have an old IRA that's sitting in bonds or the stock market, and it's just really maybe not doing a whole lot for them. They can actually convert an old IRA to a self-directed IRA. And that's actually how I funded my first two deals. I had some old, you know, retirement money that I just was sitting there in probably an ETF, and I was able to convert it to a self-directed IRA, and I invested directly into a large syndicate deal. So that's another avenue for people that maybe don't actually have the cash on hand right now, but they might have some good retirement assets and they want to diversify. So it's a vehicle, when I always mention it to people, because it's not well known, but it's a great vehicle for someone to get started if they don't have all the cash up front right now.
Got it. And I want to know, are there any certain states which provide better rental ROIs for commercial real estate? Like New York could be very expensive, but East or some Western states would have better rental ROIs?
I would say a lot of that depends on just the demographics, the job growth. I mean, we focus a lot in the Sun Belt regions of the U.S. So a lot of our deals are, you know, the Dallas-Fort Worth market. We've done some Atlanta, Phoenix, Albuquerque. I mean, what we see there is, you know, you've got a lot of baby boomers looking to retire. You've got a lot of millennials that, you know, want to kind of move around and want to rent. And these are warm weather states that are very tax friendly, that just, you know, have the job and the population growth that really insulates a lot of these investments. And you know, they almost can't build fast enough, even though that, you know, we're not building, but when they've got, you know, supply issues, you know, and you've got diverse job growth, I mean, these are just great markets to be in. And those are ones that, you know, long-term I feel very comfortable with because all the fundamentals are there and they're just really solid deals. And so through this partnership, our sponsors are focused in those areas. And that's kind of the unique thing about the structure is that kind of operate in really good markets. Whereas if I was doing this on my own, I might be limited to one market or maybe even in the Midwest. So I would say definitely, you know, the region of these assets plays a big role in the return and the risk profile of the deal.
I want to know, how do you raise capital from private equity group and how can people invest into McKenna Capital?
It's a great question. It all starts with a network. I look back and, you know, just all the relationships, all the friendships, you know, I never knew it would come to the day where, you know, I could now reach back out to them. And, you know, they've seen me talk about a lot of the investing I was doing on my own and people along the way have asked me. Now I'm finally in a position where, you know, I can bring them into some of the deals that I'm doing. So I tapped into my network and people I knew that had an interest that, you know, wanted to build some wealth and maybe do it a little bit differently than they had in the past. So that really is what kind of got things launched. But I also very active connecting people on LinkedIn, Bigger Pockets, you know, through my MBA at Notre Dame. There's just a lot. The more you talk to people, the more, you know, they get excited about this because it isn't, real estate syndication is not well known. And it's something that happens very privately through connected networks. Networks and access to these deals is very difficult. And so kind of connecting with the right people that can get you the right opportunities is very important. So I guess I would say for me, for McKenna Capital, anyone that's interested, you can go to my website. There's a form to fill out and kind of you can get connected and we can chat, or at least I can kind of share, you know, some of the things that we're working on. But really, I'm starting to see a lot of, you know, the investor base grow just through word of mouth. And it's been fun. And I always enjoy having a conversation with someone for the first time that maybe didn't realize that this vehicle was out there and that, you know, it's a great place to invest in. So feel free to go to McKennaCapital.com if you're interested in seeing kind of what we're working on.
How are international investors and Indian investors who don't file the returns or in US, how can they invest into these real estate syndicates? Because do they need to create their own LLC or LLP company and have a US account? How do they go about investing into these syndicates?
It's a little trickier, but it's certainly can be done. Typically, what they need to start is to have a social security number or an ITIN, which is the International Tax Identification Number. And so that's just something, you know, is needed to file a tax return. So once you're in a deal, you know, you can file appropriately, but they also need to be set up with a US bank account. So maybe getting an account with a large bank that, you know, when the distributions are paid out quarterly, they can go into a US bank account that you have access to. And so I guess I would say if there's interest, you know, getting out in front of it because of the funding and the time commitments that we work under, getting out ahead of it because the process will take a little bit longer. But those are three things kind of right off the bat that would need to be done. And I'm sure there's a few more that you might want to run by your CPA, but it certainly can be done. We have foreign investment in our deals, and it's just something that sometimes is done through a syndicator that comes through to us, or it's done kind of directly by the investors. So kind of whatever the personal preference is. And if someone wanted more information on that, I'd be happy to share kind of what that process looks like in more detail.
And Ryan, you also invest directly into early stage startups through Irish Angel Fund. So do you focus on certain industries for investments, and how did you get your start into investing into early stage startups?
That's another great question, and something I'm, you know, passionate about as well. And I love working with new entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs that in general that are trying to kind of get their business off the ground and kind of the early stage seed funding. This was just something through Notre Dame that I had the opportunity to participate in. And I had networked with a lot of different Irish angels, and they thought based upon kind of background personality that, you know, I'd fit really well and kind of being part of this group. And so I joined Irish Angels. I've done several investments there, and I'm in a fund, a tech fund. fund. So I would say most of my investments are going into tech companies. But, you know, in that world, it's one where you bet on the, you know, the entrepreneur and not necessarily, you know, the idea or the product, because you can have the best idea of the product. But if you don't have someone that's leading the charge there, the chances for success are slim. So it's much different than the real estate investing that I do, because typically they'll hold there 5 to 7 years and you're not getting cash flow along the way, but the upside could be much larger. So I look at this as, again, a diversification play of my portfolio, where, you know, it's a little bit more risky to me than the real estate investing, but there's the potential of, you know, hitting a home run on a big deal down the road. So I like to have a blend of it, and it's something, you know, just I'm passionate about. I love to see the growth and the success of some of these entrepreneurs, and I try to help when I can, you know, with any advice, but also to help fund some of the deals as well. And it's just exciting to be part of that partnership.
And do you get the deal flow from the fund, or you have your own network of tech entrepreneurs from where you get the deal?
So we get that through Irish Angels. So we have quarterly meetings, which, if you can imagine Shark Tank, if you're familiar with that, I mean, that's exactly how we're set up. And we have 225 Irish Angels. We're all in a room, and the investors, the entrepreneurs, get to pitch their idea, their business, and they get about 15 minutes. And at the end, there's Q&A. And it's just a great environment, because there's a lot of entrepreneurs, successful business owners in the room that have had experience in that particular field or that industry that entrepreneur is talking about. So you get some really great questions, and, you know, just to kind of see how they break down some of these opportunities and talk about maybe some of the potential roadblocks or what would lead to success. I mean, it's pretty fascinating to be in that room. So we typically have 3 or 4 entrepreneurs that are coming in to pitch their business quarterly. And a lot of our deal flow comes through our due diligence committee. And we also are pretty well connected with other angel investing groups throughout the country. So in that world, there's a lot of sharing of deal flow, and a little bit is better than nothing. So when you're sharing the deal, you know, usually the good ones get kind of passed around, and everyone kind of can get in and take a little piece of it. But at the end of the day, it comes down to networking, and most of the deals that come into Irish Angels have some sort of connection from Notre Dame, which is pretty exciting. So it's fun to be part of that network. But I did the fund because I wanted to have more diversification, kind of a catch-all, and being new to angel investing, I felt like that was probably the best way to participate without having to kind of pick the individual company to invest in, and felt like I'd lower my risk, but also still take part in the action.
So let's quickly do the top three. What's your favorite business book?
My favorite business book is Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. This is one that set the framework for investing in assets, not liabilities. And really kind of back when I was in the hospital, it really carried forward all these years, just kind of the mindset and the concept of building businesses, investing in real estate. So had it not been for that book, I don't think it would have really opened my eyes to what I'm doing today.
Yeah, when this book came out, it was revolutionary. You know, a lot of people understood about who's an employee and who's a business owner. And that's a great book. If you could go back, man, when you started your real estate business, what is the one thing you would have focused on?
I guess I would say I wish I would have started earlier. But, you know, going back, and there's not a whole lot I guess I would change. I mean, I would say that I didn't realize this role even existed, the role I play right now. I mean, I'm essentially, you know, operating somewhat of a passive business here in my syndicated capital raising role. I always thought you had to be one or the other, passive or active. And the active is just a lot more work, a lot more time, a lot more expertise. And, you know, I was an investor passively, but then I was able to be part of the GP, the syndicated team, through this role, this capital raising role. So I wish I would have known about that earlier, because that's another way to get started in this business without really having, you know, much capital, because I don't have to do the financing. I don't have to put up, you know, collateral. I mean, so I'm, you know, in that role, that's something that someone could basically start tomorrow with no money, and just, you know, the drive, the work ethic, and, you know, the ambition to just make it happen. So that is an exciting part of this real estate industry that I think more people should know about, because it's a great way to get in and also to learn. And you're partnering with experts, but you're also out building a network and sharing opportunities with others. I just think it's a great spot to be in.
What's your favorite online tools example, Gmail or Slack?
I really like MailChimp. MailChimp is something relatively new to me. Is when I, you know, launched McKenna Capital with the syndication business, but it saved me so much time, because I'm able to communicate with my investors through any, you know, deal updates, new opportunities. And it's in a format that is easily accessible to kind of, you know, switch up or change the template for a new deal. So I don't have to kind of keep reinventing the wheel. And so it allows me to spend minimal time, but I can touch 300-400 investors in a few minutes with one simple message. And so I would say that is a huge time saver. It's allowed me to organize and track, you know, all the deal flow and opportunity and responses from investors. So that's been a big help.
What's the best way for people to reach out to you and know more about McKenna Capital?
If they want to reach me, the easiest way is probably just to go to the website on mckennacapital.com. Try to make it very educational. I've got a blog there that got many articles that are written that really kind of speak to some of these opportunities and just pros and cons. And just it's a way that I learned, you know, through others. And I want to share that with people that are interested in investing in real estate. If someone wants to reach out to me directly, they can just email me at ryan@mckennacapital.com.
I'll put that in the show notes. So thank you very much for your time, Ryan. I really appreciate speaking to you.
Likewise, Rohit. Thanks again for having me on, and you take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Life Self-Mastery podcast, where we teach you how to start and grow your online business. For more information, visit Rohit's blog at www.lifeselfmastery.com.